The exposed beams holding up a plastered ceiling were carved with decorative equine motifs. The plaster in between was painted a dark red. The red continued down the walls. False columns on the walls were painted in a purple porphyry pattern. Patinated bronze lanterns hung from the beams, their light soaking into the decor. Round tables were set far enough apart to maintain the illusion of privacy. Brass-trimmed doors led deeper into the building. "Pray tell, how is this not a brothel?" Hamzu asked. "It's a social club," Emily responded, "where you can rent employees by the hour. Or you can rent a private room where you're not sleeping in the same space as the local rabble. You did ask for privacy." The two fell silent as one of the employees approached. She carried a ewer with which she refilled the mugs in front of Nicanor and Emily. Hamzu had not touched his. The server wore a swishy white skirt with pale blue vine patterns, with a matching top wrapped around her slender frame. Her pale, pretty features were marred by livid scars slashed across her face. Auburn hair drooped in front of her sad eyes. After she moved away, Hamzu resumed speaking. "I'm also fairly certain it is run by a criminal gang." "What makes you say that?" Emily asked. "The matching phoenix tattoos on the left arms of the men guarding the doors, their overuse of the color orange, their general demeanor, and what I've overheard about their discussions regarding conflict with another group in the city. It seems our phoenixes here got into a spat with the Ironheads, who sound like dwarfs." Emily looked towards the pair by the door. Two young men stood near the entrance, arms crossed on their chests. Each wore a sleeveless waistcoat with a broad sash across their middle, and narrow trousers tucked into laceless calf-high boots. Both had a sword tucked in the side of the sash and a dagger in the front. The one with reddish-brown hair had an orange sash with dark brown vest. The one with sandy hair had an orange vest and black sash. The pallor of their bare arms contrasted the light tan across their faces. The detailed phoenixes tattooed on their arms had a different number of flames about its feet. The sandy-haired man had a few more flames. Both had lean, defined thews, and the easy confidence of a dangerous man. "I wonder if they're for rent," Emily said. Seeing Hamzu's head turn towards her, she added, "As bodyguards. Sheesh. There's a lot of crime in this city." She flicked her eyes back at Hamzu again. "You're going to need to stop wearing that mask all the time." "Why?" "It draws too much attention. You're memorable, and that's bad for us. I know you're allowed to take it off. You need to start looking normal when people can see you." "It's too late for Anderhat. Quite." The door opened, and a boy with a broad-brimmed hat stepped in. One of the guards grabbed the front of the boy's dingy white tunic and admonished him. The boy spoke rapidly, waving a slip of paper towards the table where Emily, Hamzu, and Nicanor sat. The guard released the boy's shirt, but kept a close eye as he hurried over. Emily reached for the paper, but the boy held out an empty hand, palm up. "I need a culet or two," Emily said. "Why?" Hamzu asked. "Messengers get paid." Hamzu produced two slightly patinated bronze coins and handed them directly to the boy. He relinquished the paper and waited. Emily flipped it open and examined the glyphs inscribed on it. Tearing off an empty corner of the sheet, she scribbled two of her own with a charcoal pencil. The boy took the scrap and ran off back out the door. "Are we any closer to a resolution?" Hamzu asked. "Of course we are. I know my job. Are you going to let me in on the plan?" "Not yet. It depends on what friends we can make. Are you improvising?" "Always, and developing contingencies. I have no existing contacts in this town. That means making connections on short notice, which is what I was hired to do." "I am aware of that. I simply dislike not knowing." "Of course you do. You're a hoarder of secrets," Emily smiled. "But we're in public, and you never know who understands us." Neither of the two noticed the twitch of the man sitting with his back to Emily at the next table. A man with blonde tresses tied in a crimson ribbon, paying too much attention to his drink. "I don't expect another reply tonight, so I'm going up to my room." Emily rose and made good her intent, disappearing through a door leading to the back stair. Hamzu looked over at Nicanor, then down at his own drink. Pushing his mask up on top of his head, Hamzu chugged the contents of the flagon, tossed a few coins onto the table, and withdrew to his own quarters. Nicanor grumbled and sipped his own drink again. "I've seen a lot of sad faces, but yours seems particularly so." Nicanor's forehead scrunched in confusion as he looked up at the scarred serving woman. "You speak my language? Orchetto come into town often enough to trade. My family were merchants. I learned when I was little." She gave an uncertain look around, but saw nobody clamoring for her attention. "I suppose there aren't too many people here who bothered to learn." "You're the first who spoke to me," Nicanor said, looking down at his drink. "Sounds lonely." A flagon sailed past the serving woman's nose. "Stop growling that beast talk," the patron who threw the glass snapped. Graying, sunbaked, and dressed in the simple homespun of a cattle hand, the man wobbled unsteadily on his feet. Nicanor turned in his seat, but it was the door guards who reached the cattleman first. Seizing him by the arms, they dragged him to the door. "You're drunk and disturbing our guests," they said, pitching him out on the street. Nicanor turned back, but the serving woman was gone.